Hello, everyone. I'm Trent Luce. Welcome to another edition of Rural Routes, the program where we gather every day at this time. Well, we do it Monday through Friday anyway. And what we do when we gather is continue to address the issues between rural and urban America. This week, our nation will reflect back on December the 7th, 1941, the day that the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor. Some of us will just think about the families, think about the sacrifice, think about what came after that. Hank Vogler, on the other hand, he went to the Pacific to get as close as he possibly could to Pearl Harbor without going to Hawaii. Checking in from somewhere south of the border, trying to get his money when he comes back across, Hank Vogler.
I did sit next to a lady that was going to Hawaii on the airplane.
Yeah.
Does that count?
So you flew from Vegas to San Diego?
Las Vegas to Los Angeles.
Los Angeles.
40 minutes.
And then Los Angeles to?
Laredo.
And what was it like getting out of the country packing a hunting rifle?
The hypocrisy was so bad, you wanted to just start slapping people. I mean, it was horrible. They made us go to the back of the line. They had the National Guard or some armed services, four of them. They took pictures of everything. They went through our suitcases and just practically just like we were criminals.
Mm-hmm.
Just imagine three old duffs just wanting to go to Mexico just to do something that George needs that grand slam. He needs that desert bighorn sheep, and we feed them to the lions in the United States, and you have to draw a tag. Down here you can buy a tag. And he wants to get his grand slam, bucket list deal, and to be treated like that was just when you got thousands of people lining up at the border just smoking in from 150, 160 countries. And here you are in this little tiny town. You've got the guide is there. Everything that's going to happen is going to happen. And I mean, they take pictures. And hours. And fortunately, the plane was, I guess, COVID or whatever, was about a third full. If we'd have had to wait, they had them people lined up for hours waiting in line to go through the customs. I mean, it was ridiculous.
So how many people go to Laredo, Mexico, the Baja, to hunt?
To Carmen Island, it's probably 10, maybe 12. Two hunts every so many weeks, and then they don't hunt them all the time.
Mm-hmm.
They let them get mature
to
hunt them, so they're they have nice, well proportioned heads, which is
So
the prize.
All I was trying to do was establish a baseline on how often people would come in with hunting rifles. And
I don't know of any other hunting around there. There's fishing, a lot of fishing, I guess. Mm-hmm. But I don't think there's much hunting. And of course, it's franchised, I'm sure, somehow. I guess the island would be private. There's only going to be two people on it starting this morning. So,
I suppose you just screwed up, because it's much like 19, I think the statute of limitations is up on this, so I can share it with you, but 1998, May of, no, April, April 1998, I got to Eagle Pass, Texas, to take 8 red-horned limousine bulls into Mexico, Coahuila, that I had sold down there. Only thing is that on my health paper, I had 7. And the individual from Mexico, the veterinarian who was doing the inspection, he point blank came to me, "Senor, your health paper, it's not adequate." So I'm not going to try to continue my Mexican accent because it's not very good. But bottom line, he just point blank said, "We can call the USDA and work through the system, Or if you have a good relationship with Benjamin Franklin, we can fix it now.
Ah. Well, that, yeah, we messed up then.
I said, well, how many relatives would I have to know of Benjamin Franklin? Well, two, maybe three would be just, you know, ideal.
Well, there were eight people there. So that would have been a pretty expensive deal. Plus, it was several thousand dollars to get the gun permit.
Oh, my. Are you kidding me?
No.
So you got a gun permit from Mexico to bring a gun in, and then you still have to go through this rigmarole with eight guys wanting Ben Franklin from you to get this streamlined. Wow.
That part was not brought up.
Well, I kind of think that you need to have one of those guys off to the side. I don't think they'd want to do this in a group.
Find out who's in charge, El Jefe.
He dags it. Yeah, the foreman. You need the boss foreman. The one that can grease the wheel. Well, have you considered they might not let you out?
Well, I guess there's quite a deal now. We have to do an online thing, which is just wonderful. Fill out papers, and then we have to have a COVID negative test within 72 hours of getting back on the plane. What else?
We had to have that because, you know, we were in Cabo San Lucas for Libby's wedding in August, and we had the same thing. And I'm 100% confident those samples never went to a lab beyond the little vial they were sitting in on the desk when we left.
The hotel, everywhere you look, you can get your COVID test here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, and the good news is CNN doesn't appear to be on the TV. I know you don't think much of them, and Fox News is the channel of choice. It comes on first.
Really?
And I saw an advertisement for a Piedmontese steak this morning.
Did you really?
Yes. It's Christmas dinner, which, you know, we're starting to get there. When are we going to get a Piedmontese lamb? That's what I want to know.
Well, I can make that happen.
But anyhow, when you turn on the TV or go to the airports, CNN's always on. Well, you turn the TV on here, and the mother station is at least Fox News, so they get a little closer to the truth. And the first advertisement for Christmas was to have the folks over for a Piedmontese steak.
I'll be darned. I'll have to tell the boys they're doing well. So what I never figured out when I was in Cabo, which I'd been there, done it, so I don't need to go back. But it's mountain time. It's directly south of San Diego. Why is this mountain time?
I think they just leave it on the old time, don't they? No,
they don't, because it was mountain time when I was there.
And so they changed it?
From
daylight savings time's mountain time to daylight savings
time? Well, I was there in August. It was mountain time when I was there. And you're there now, and it's mountain time, so that means they didn't. They change like everybody else.
Oh, boy. No wonder they have so much trouble down here. I don't know.
Well,
I wonder if it may...
This is no different than being in Nevada.
I didn't say a word, but one of the military fellas all had name badges on their uniforms, and one of them was named Escobar. I thought, should I say, hello, Pablo, how are you? Is this a demotion or a new gig?
I'm not telling you how to act, but, you know, I'd just be careful what you say while you're there. I'd just kind of go about your business if I were you.
That wouldn't have been good, huh?
Well, I mean, try it, but I'll have to get Marty on Monday every week from now on, I think.
Poor old Marty.
Yeah, he's coming to see in January, whether you're there or not.
Okay, I hope to be there in January.
Yeah, he's going to come get rid of a cat for you.
Well, good. Does he have any other things that we could get rid of while he's there?
Yeah, he can get rid of anything.
Good.
But his hounds are trained to cats and coons, so that would be the priority. Speaking of certified Piedmontese, if you'd like to be a supplier, that's kind of cool, actually, that you produce beef and cattle in the Great Plains of America that's recognized in Mexico. It's because we tap into those high-end markets, and you, the producer, get paid properly. That's the whole deal. Can we get closer to the consumer's food dollar? The Certified Piedmontese system has accomplished that. Lone Creek Cattle Company has made it happen. Our calves are leaving 1 week from Wednesday. We are ready for that, let me tell you what. And we will get $180 over market price for each one of those calves. That's on top of the regular price in the area. Get full details about how you can get paid properly, a percentage of the consumer's food dollar, from LoneCreekCattleCo.com. More Hank Bogler after this. Welcome back. Roll Route, Trent Lewis alongside Hank Bogler in Mexico hunting with a buddy. So you're not hunting, you're just there.
I'm hunting also.
You are.
I capitulated. Yeah, we both are. But the number one, I already have the Grand Slam.
Right.
We're going to get him the Grand Slam no matter what. That's the whole reason for being here. So, as I told him a long time ago, I said, you know, when you're 25, you're 10 foot tall and bulletproof. When you're 50, you start trying to convince yourself that you're middle-aged, but you don't know anybody that's 100. And now you're banging on 75. And you know what? Hearses don't have toy haulers behind them. And you know what? You can sit in the house and wait for the Grim Reaper because you know he's coming. But you can also go out and do something and make him earn his business, make him earn his keep. So there.
you can't take your toys in a U-Haul, but you could put the head of a Rocky Mountain desert sheep on the hood of a hearse.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. Or something.
Is this the George I know?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I'm sure it is.
Well, tell George I said good luck and look forward to a fantastic report next week.
I don't know when we get to the island if we'll have cell phone and all that stuff, but so far everything's working just like we were home.
Yeah, I mean, that's some serious desert around there. It makes North Spring Valley, Nevada look like a paradise from what I saw driving down there when we were there, because we'd had about a two-hour ride from the hotel to the airport.
Well, Gaspar said that there's only two waters on the island, and I said, well, get me a bedroll and a lawn chair. I'll wait for them.
They're going to show up at water at some point. Maybe your hunt is finding the water, though.
Well, I think they know where the water's at.
Yeah, the guide knows. 37,000 acres. Whether you know how many?
37,000 acres on that island. So, but it's straight up and down too, if you know, so there'd be more surface acres than that. So anyhow, very excited.
So how long do you think you're going to be there?
Well, we're supposed to go to the island today, and then the hunt's 8 days.
Oh.
So,
but what if you get it in two?
Well, I guess we could come back and go fishing, or we can go to Alaska Airlines and see if they'll give us a ride back. The plane was just absolutely empty. I mean, I couldn't believe it. And thank God we'd still be at the airport trying to get those guns checked through if the airplane would have been packed.
Okay, so just so I'm clear, the issue was customs in Mexico, right? Not your connection or anything else?
No, the connections were fine. They kind of, even at the airport in Las Vegas, you know, we had to take the guns over. They had to have two locks, not just one, on the gun case. And et cetera, et cetera. We had to sign a little card, put it in the gun case. Then they took them back in the back, Homeland Security, and it was like it was a big secret. And nobody has a sense of humor. The little lady came out, and I said, "Did you sight my rifle in?"
You know, Hank. There's zero sense of humor with TSA or customs. You can't do that.
I know. You know, and I mean, it's just, it would be the guy that's sneaking the dang gun on the plane, you know, the terrorists won, Trent.
I know.
Look what's going on at airports. The terrorists won. You got us lined up across the street like a bunch of cattle walking through the deal. And those, I mean, it's just ridiculous, the whole thing.
It is.
So.
Including the mask they made you wear while you're sitting on that plane.
Oh, my ears are so sore. I'll tell you what. I mean, they're sore as a boil from having that hoop behind them, that elastics thing. Gosh darn, that's terrible. And, oh, by the way, they did, when we came into the terminal, they gave us some hand sanitizer, squirted it on our hands, and then checked our temperature. So full employment, more bureaucrats. That's what it's all about.
Well, I did actually look, in case worse came to worse, from Cabo where we were, it was a 7-hour drive to San Diego to get back in the country. But I think you're halfway up the Baja.
Yeah, it was only like an hour and a half to fly in from Los Angeles.
Yeah.
As much time as we were taxiing on the runway, I thought we were just going to drive the plane there. I didn't think they were going to get off the ground. So.
Okay, so for planning purposes, we don't know if you'll be here next week or not.
Have no idea. I hope so. Mm-hmm. I'd love to call and tell you George got a good one. Yes, sir.
Yeah. What's the population? I mean, they obviously, this island you're talking about, clearly it's entrepreneurism. It's managed to the hilt in terms of the species, and they bring only the number of hunts in to match what's available. But I got to believe we got desert bighorns everywhere, and we just don't manage it as well.
Well, a perfect example is a kid that he had a desert bighorn tag, which is the most prized tag you can get in the United States, but you can't buy them except the governor's tag. I think the governor's tag in Nevada went for $312,000. And so there's people obviously wanting to spend money on it. And this kid got a tag, lifetime draw, puts the, what do you call it, the, oh, I can't even think this morning. What's range a game camera to see what was coming into this guzzler. And he takes a picture of 5 mountain lions at the guzzler. And he's put it out. And the Nevada Department of Wildlife tried to stop him from sharing that picture, threatening him to take his tag away from him. Now, you go ahead and tell me that 5 mountain lions on a sheep guzzler in the state of Nevada is not going to have an effect on the sheep population. Throw in the coyotes, throw in the eagles, throw in all the predators that will eat fawns or baby lambs or whatever. And, you know, the deer population in Nevada is just zero. When I came there 37 years ago, there were a lot of deer around, and they had already taken away an effective tool to manage the coyotes, and it's only gotten worse and worse and worse and worse. Now it's ridiculous.
So usually, Hank, no matter what the ridiculous agenda of the bureaucrats, you can figure it out. I mean, let's just take the wild horse, for example, the feral horse. You know that they just cave to the pressure of the loud because they want them out there. I can't even think of a bureaucrat agenda that they would want the predator to be so prominent there's no prey.
Well,
what could the possible logic be? No matter how ill-guided, I can't think of any.
The purest environmentalist, non-game wildlife money rolls in. And so they give them a couple of seats on the commission. They cater to them, and they try and raise wildlife in this so-called natural state. But if they read the history of Nevada and other states, there was very little wildlife here. And then when the game hunters came along to provide protein for the miners, they just about wiped everything out with hunting with dogs. There was no fair chase to that at all. And so then when livestock came into the area to feed the miners, and they started raising livestock and making improvements, spreading water out on meadows, deer and other animals came in. Plus there was predator control, but the predator control, why were we reintroducing wolves and grizzly bears? They were not eliminated because they were user friendly. They were eliminated certainly limited because they were predating on people's private property and people. So yeah, they limited the number that were out there. They never did get rid of all the coyotes or all the mountain lions, but wolves and grizzly bears, well, now they're wanting to put them everywhere. They've got them in Oregon. They've got them in places they never haven't been for years.
This is the point in time I need to remind you about another predator. That is typically the federal government. Protect the Harvest is wonderful at enlightening you on information about how you can network with other landowners to keep the predator at bay. It is unnecessary regulations and rules and foreign ownership. The column that I wrote last week is still on Protect the Harvest website, talking about how China is trying to buy the Western culture left and right. I haven't even talked to Hank about that. We'll do that when we get back. But in the meantime, go to protecttheharvest.com and get all the information and get on the email list. Second half, Rural Route, just ahead. Welcome back. Rural Route, Trent Luce, Hank Vogler alongside. Actually, he's not even in this country today. He will be next week. They'll ship him out of there quicker than 8 days, trust me. So I'm in Brookings, South Dakota at the moment. I got to a hotel room last night in time to watch the last three events. They must start the NFR earlier. I thought they started at 7 o'clock Vegas time and started on our time at 9, but it was over at 9:50.
5 o'clock, I watched the first three go-rounds. And I think one night it was 6, but I think the first go around was 5 o'clock or 5:30. It was early, yeah.
So they don't even air it on RFD at live. It's some sort of a delay there then.
I have no idea. It looked like it was live to me, but they had instant replay, all that good stuff. So,
Yeah.
And I guess this is the anecdotal. A friend of mine called me and he said, I have a picture on the front page, huge picture on the front page of the Las Vegas Review Journal. Mm-hmm. And there's a big sign that says masks required at the NFR. And then behind it is the crowd at the NFR. There's not one mask anywhere. So the Cowboys told him to stick it.
I actually was surprised at the number of masks that I saw people wearing last night. But
most of the officials.
It was not the crowd. It was people that obviously were told they had to, that were part of the system.
Yeah. I thought it was great myself.
Yeah.
We've gotten to the point of total ridiculousness.
Well, I had a new level of sympathy for the, I missed the bronc riding, saddle broncs and barebacks, because obviously I saw the last three segments, roping, barrel racing, and bull riding. But that last little sage guy I think they knocked him cuckoo on the last bull. And after, you probably don't even know this, Hank, but I had about 6 weeks ago on a Sunday, I was out for 3 hours from a horse wreck. Don't even know what happened. Don't know. I lost 3 hours. But watching those guys hit their head, man, I'll tell you, I got a new level of uneasiness about that.
Oh, yeah. Well, there was one night that I watched it. Kid got hung up, bucked off, and knocked him out too.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Well, that's rough sport. There's no question about it.
So, are you in the loop on how the Chinese front men are consuming the Western culture?
Oh, I wouldn't be surprised. The myth of the United States of America is a myth. It's a personal choice to come here and have freedom. And the hypocrisy or the irony is to have them want to buy into the culture. And guarantee, if they did, within a few years, they will destroy themselves. I mean, communism doesn't work. It's not working in China. If those people had a way to get around that government, mm-hmm. other than the black market that they already use, that place is purely capitalist all the way through. Everybody's trying to improve their life in a situation the best they can. But if you'll remember, a few years ago, after the Second World War, as you mentioned earlier, we rebuilt Japan. We shipped a lot of our manufacturing base to Japan so the Japanese people would have something to do. And all the currencies, the world currency was dollars. So they came back in the 80s, and it was the same phobia. They bought the golf courses, they bought the hotels, they brought our money back. And to them, you know, they offered, Japan offered $2 billion years and years ago just to buy the land under the American embassy in Tokyo because of the scarcity of that product.
Mm-hmm.
They come over here and they're so overwhelmed. My wife is Chinese, you know, full disclosure. Her friends cannot believe that I drive 5 hours on the highway to come and see my wife. And she drives and her son drive 5 miles to come to the ranch, 5 hours to come to the ranch. They have no concept of that. I think they're doing the same thing, and they will make the same mistake. Trying to get the genie back in the bottle after Deng Xiaoping let it out in China ain't never gonna happen. All they've done is created a bigger black market. And Xi Jinping wants to get the genie back in a bottle. But he's got American money. He wants the currency to be the Chinese currency. But the restrictions he's already putting on cryptocurrency in that country and all the other things is making it less desirable to do any business with them. So I think they're slitting their own throat. And God love them. I hope they do slit their own throat.
Well, I don't know. This feels different to me, and I wasn't as involved. I was aware of the Japanese investment. This Chinese seems more like a takeover than an investment. And I'm not anti-foreign investment, but I think at some point you have to put your guard up because there's not a single week goes by, Hank, when somebody doesn't contact me from Texas, Oklahoma. The last one was from Georgia, talking about Chinese individuals buying farms in Georgia, chicken farms, you name it. In Oklahoma, we know that they're buying, we can track $100 million worth of farms that Chinese individuals have bought and paid for with cash and then put grow houses on them. China's doing a lot in Texas. I can walk you through every bit of the details, but I've now traced money to the whole Yellowstone series. It's all China money behind that, and the person who had sold his movie making business, Legendary Entertainment, in 2015 is a Wall Street investor, not some guy who loves the West and dances with wolves. It's Thomas Toll, who's now buying the Four Sixes Ranch in Texas. He's bought Cowboys and Indians magazine. He's bought the American Rodeo. He's bought Better Barrel Racing. The rumor has it he's trying to negotiate with RFD to buy the Cowboy Channel and RFD. There is just too much going on here in terms of it looks to be. And friends of mine in Montana are telling me about the Chinese money buying ranches left and right. I have people telling me that they have bought so much and owned so much of Yellowstone. Vegas has got it. And I left out the partnership with this Chinese outfit in NFR. PRCA, AQHA, it looks like a takeover.
And it's a capitalist takeover. They're not coming in with guns. They're coming in with our money. And they're giving it back to us. We know the paper that the money is about worth toilet paper. So they're buying our inflation. You know, I'm not sticking up for it. I'm just, it just, the people of China, 1979, when Mao died, were basically rural agrarian society. The first person to own a private vehicle was a chicken trader. He hauled them in the car, and he owned a private vehicle. That was his truck to haul chickens around and sell them. They cannot get enough. I have had wealthy Chinese men living in Vegas who escaped China and have no desire to go back, want to get their whole family out of there, and told me that they would come to work for me during Roundup, during Lamin, Kevin, whatever, and all they needed was a place to sleep. And these guys got more money than God. I mean, and they are enamored by it. So are the Japanese. It's a culture that they don't understand, the Western way of life. And it smells like freedom. Now, as far as buying ranches and everything, again, you and I know what a ranch is worth. It's what walks off the end of the scales. And if it'll X amount of animals walk off the end of the scale, that's the value of the ranch. Then the rest of it's blue sky. How bad do you want to own this piece of property? Well, right now, with all those money, carts of it, stacked up, you know, my wife went and sang for some wealthy Chinese people that hired her. 8-car garage. The poor little kids had to drive Beamers. I mean, it was like a giant hotel with a recreation area. And he got out of there. Now, China knows what's going on. You can only leave China with $50,000. If you want to come and visit like her parents did, they had to turn everything they owned back over to the government. So if they didn't return, the government got everything. I mean, it's a screwed up system. And because there are the Hunters, Joe Biden, let's go, Brandon. I mean, this is what's going on. He's giving them a pass just like he's given the Russians because they got so much dirt on him that it's unbelievable. And the bag man's Hunter, but Hunter's whacking it up with the rest of the family. I mean, that's the scary part for me, is the United States of America person is so apathetic and so given up on these politicians that promise them, go to Washington, D.C. and don't do anything. Sit there and whack the money up.
Yeah, I'm more sinister in this Chinese investment than you are. And the part that I left out is the same group that's buying all of this Western culture is a group that owns 6,100 movie screens in the United States, and I'm told has 80% of the investment in Hollywood, owns AMC, and I just think it's a hostile takeover. They've been trying to indoctrinate our society for years, and now they're coming to reap their harvest.
I will not disagree with you, but when is the last time you went to a movie theater? 6,100 was it? Wahoo! How many were there when I was a kid? Every town, heck, poor little old Burns, Oregon had the Ideal Theater, the Desert Theater. It had a drive-in. I mean, in a little tiny town, that was entertainment. TV was almost, 6,100. I'll tell you what, you want to get me to giggle? You see what's happening to all the liberal movement in this country. And now we got the smash and grab robberies in their backyard, in the Tiffany's that they shop in, or the Louis Vuitton or whatever that is. I mean, it's in their backyard. And Nancy's moving to Florida. If anything, somebody should get together at the Florida legislature and ban her sorry backside.
No, don't ban her. Welcome her in. We'll give her 3 squares a day. There'll be justice there. I have to go to a break. We're going to make Hank giggle like a girl when we get back. I want to remind you that Dr. Nathan Bryan will be speaking this week to 4,000 medical doctors in Las Vegas, not part of NFR, but it's there at the same time as NFR if you want a joint reason to go. He'll be talking about the benefit of nitric oxide, not the benefit, the essential aspects of nitric oxide and why you should take a supplement every day. NO2U.com. NO2U.com. Put Trent in the coupon code. You pay no shipping. It's free shipping and a 10% discount. Trent is your coupon. We'll be back with the last segment of Rural Route. Hank Vogler after this. Welcome back. Rural Route. Trent Luce alongside Hank Vogler, giggling like a girl. Nancy Pelosi, what do you mean she's moving to Florida? She's going to move to Florida?
They're buying some guy, been on the news two or three times that she's moving to Florida. Or she's at least buying a home there or something. A lot of money, too.
You need to quit watching the news.
Oh, okay.
It's not really news. Well, it's entertainment.
That's what I thought was plum entertaining. She's leaving San Francisco because she invited all the bums in to vote for her, and now they're crapping in the street and living in the doorways and all mm-hmm. the nice liberal, let's get along folks. It's their stores that are being robbed. It's their neighborhoods that are being trashed, you know. When I was in college, they had riots in Reno. And for whatever that day and time, how they handled it, they just brought in the police and the National Guard wasn't even on the news. And the folks burned their own homes down. They burned their own businesses down. And when it was all over with, if somebody that of color was hurt, you had to bring them out with a white flag on a stretcher and set them down. Nobody would go in there. The guys went in and tried to put the fire out, and they beat up the firemen and burned the fire truck down. So now we don't do that kind of thing anymore. That's not nice or whatever. So now we have lawlessness. And lawlessness, oh, let them steal $900. You know, they deserve it. What? In my day and time, if you walked out of a grocery store with a 2 cent bubble gum in your mouth that didn't belong to you, they would summarily judge you.
This is still your day and time, Hank.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, but well, it's certainly evolving.
I had somebody say to me, I have a friend in conversation, said DeSantis acts like he's building Florida as its own country. Check out the Constitution. That is what it says we're supposed to do. And we've fallen prey to the federalism. We need to get back to individual states comprising the United States of America.
Lincoln's on the rock in South Dakota for his greatness. But one of the worst things he ever did was represent federalism. It's the United States. It's not Washington, D.C. and its subsidiaries. And it was put that way together. The smaller states did not want to join the Union without the Bill of Rights. And we've usurped them all with a bunch of weak-kneed politicians that go back into Washington, D.C. and line their pockets. It didn't start yesterday. It's from day one. There should maybe not only be term limits on politicians, but maybe there should be term limits on bureaucrats.
No, absolutely.
That's who runs them.
Hey, how familiar are you with the 8th president of the United States, Martin Van Buren?
Very little.
Me too. I was blissfully ignorant until yesterday I stumbled upon a quote, and then I spent 2 hours researching Martin Van Buren, and I was like, well, this is exactly why I don't know anything about Martin Van Buren. The 8th president of the United States was the first sitting president born in the United States. His father was a saloon keeper. He owned a saloon and a farm. They did have 6 slaves on their farm, full disclosure. But the founding fathers, this saloon, by the way, was in Kinderhook, New York. And it's one of the saloons we always talk about, the founding fathers solved all of their differences and hammered out the Constitution in his saloon. That was one of the saloons that the politicians came to. But he grew up dirt poor working class, and so he was viewed as the first non-elite to work his way. He started working at a law firm, running errands and sweeping the floor. I mean, just to set the tone for how this guy been there, done that. And he really was campaigning. President 1836 is the year he got elected. And his platform was states' rights and anti-slavery. And
wow.
He was only a one-term president because He took off, even though they considered him one of the founders of the Democrat Party. He took office and really worked against the establishment and went against the Democrat Party, particularly when it came to slavery. And the other key component of his presidency was that he did not want a federal central bank. He said, if we have one bank that represents a federal government, we will never have power to the people. The people will always be slaves to this banking system. So they took him out. So they got rid of him. He's like, you're not going to be a president again. You're taking on the establishment. And so then he's part of the creation of two things. He was part, before he became president, he was part of a group called the Bucktails, which were all about independent thinking, individual citizens comprising the United States. And they're called Bucktails because they literally would wear the tail of a deer on their hat. And then after he was president, he became a spokesperson and instrumental in the Free Soil Party. The Free Soil Party only lasted 3 years. The most that any Free Soil member running for president ever got was 10%. That was the first year. And history tries to say it was a complete failure, but it is the impetus that birthed the Republican Party, and Abraham Lincoln being the first Republican, obviously, person in that party. But it was the anti-slavery movement that he was instrumental in. And while we don't learn about him in history, he really set the course and pace for what happened after his lifetime, which he died in 1862, immediately after the Civil War started. And I knew nothing about him.
Well, that's pretty cool, really. But again, anti-establishment, gee, what did they do to Trump? You know, I mean, same thing. Anybody that tries to buck the system and break out of those bureaucrats. Just think about it. If you get a new representative from Nebraska that goes to Washington, D.C., it's the former guy's office staff that's there.
Yep.
You know, and they give him the advice, and they get him started, and they know everybody. And the next thing you know, they start leaking stuff on the guy that's adverse because it's something that they don't want to see happen. It's the ensconced bureaucrats the problem. It's not the Constitution.
Yeah, I actually am to the point where any thinking person knows the 2020 presidential election was fraudulently counted. Okay, how that happened, I don't have. I think it was through mail-in votes. I think it was through illegal ballots. I don't think the machines were tampered with. That's my personal thought. Regardless, how. But I don't think it was the Democrats that made it happen, Hank. I think it was the Republican Party, tired of Trump taking on the establishment.
Well, yeah, they had her made, you know. They'd rather play canasta at the club with Biff and Buffy, you know. why would they want to get their hands dirty and do something ridiculous like rule a country? Oh, heaven's sakes. I mean, yeah. And when the Democratic Party started getting way off the deep end, when people with their sacks of money bought them, the working people, the farmers, everybody moved to the Republican Party. And you think them old silk scarves wanted us? Heck no. We're nothing but stinky people at Walmart. But we had no place to go. We're smart enough to know that H. Ross Perot elected Wee Willie Winky twice, you know, and they had a frat party there for 8 years. So, I mean, we didn't have any place to go. And now we're so untrustworthy of all of them. We don't know which way to jump, but you can't join the independents because then you can't vote out the rhinos in the primaries and get rid of those people that are, you know, two chickens in every pot or whatever they say to get reelected, and then go back there and line their pockets. That's the deal. We got to have people with spine.
You can still vote out the rhinos if you're registered independent.
How's that? You can't vote in the primary, can you?
Well, no, you can't vote in a primary, but you can vote in the general election,
which puts another Democrat in.
Yeah, you're right.
Gets old what's her face or somebody just like her, you know.
Yep.
Elected. So yeah. You gotta have
somebody running against the rhinos first. That's not happened.
Yes. Well, that's the problem because they all cater to the whatever's the soup du jour, you know, flavor of the day. It's just, you know, I think the black people are getting a gut full of this stuff about racism.
Oh, they are.
And people are getting totally disgusted with wokeism or whatever the heck that is. I woke up this morning and felt great about it, just being woke. You know, Willie Nelson.
And you'll probably go to sleep again today so that you can woke up again tomorrow.
You got it. English wasn't my strong suit anyhow. But I can woke up all the time. But, I mean, it's just, you know, the craziness that we go through trying to, we are a country of philanthropers. We try and help people, and we don't help them in the right way. You help people by getting them a job. You help people by getting them through a rough spot. But as soon as they get through the rough spot, you drop, kick them out the door. I mean, it's even with your own kids, you know, my generation, you gave the kid $20 and you and mother went to the country club or whatever you did. But, you know, and then the kids rebelled. So every generation has to put up with this. And it's all based on our education, and it's all based on correct use of authority. And correct use of authority is not letting people steal. Not, you know, I mean, there has to be some outer limits. And not having two tiers of justice, one for the great unwashed and one for the elitist. Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton should be set. The best punishment you could give those two people would be to put them in the same cell together for the rest of their life. And the cell next door should be Hunter and Joe. I mean, it's just, we have allowed this to happen. And as long as they're doing favors for us, we allow them to do it. But now the world has shrunk. They've sold out to other countries for the same thing, the shiny coins.
Yeah, well, they put a level of protection in to make sure Bill and Hillary don't get in the same cell because they got Comey's daughter prosecuting attorney in the Ghislaine Maxwell case.
Really? Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. How fair is that going to be?
When they get that all drained out, there's got to be people all over the world hiding under their desk because all he was is just uptown pimp. That's all he was.
Yeah, pimp for pedophiles. That's the problem.
Both. Yeah. Well. Yeah. Well, I don't think that one and the other are probably never too far apart because they provide a service and whatever kink you want. That's what they provide. That's what the Bhagwan Sri Rajneesh had going in Antelope, in Oregon.
Well, that will have to be when we come back, because we're way over time. Journey down the road, connecting rural and urban America. Both Hank and myself remind you that all roads do lead to a rural route.